The secret of happiness, you see, is not found in seeking more, but in developing the capacity to enjoy less. A quote by Socrates. Dig. Welcome to the One Love Sports podcast, your place for quick takes on hot sporting topics and events. I am Lance Thomas, along with Mario Pottinger, the Rastaman from the Live Sports Group. What's going on, Mario?
Everything's good. It's been a great Thursday so far. A lot of news in the NBA.
Yes, it is busy in the sporting world this afternoon. This is the best 30 minutes in all of sports, and we kick things off as usual with looking back at the week that was. We had five feature games last week on our schedule that we predicted on, including the Inter Milan and AC Milan clash, which instead of going 2-1 your way in terms of your prediction, it went 2-1 for Milan. A surprise there, huh?
A little bit. Okay. Inter kind of got comfortable.
Yes, yes. And in other matchups, like, Barca overwhelmed Atletico Madrid. Senegal edged out Egypt in a finals at AFCON finals that went down to the penalty shootout. And Lakers went down to Bucks, I guess, predictably given their form of late, including the and when you look at them and the Nets, wow, it's a travesty in the NBA. And then you had the Jazz and Warriors last night. But can you say from the AFCON final, which is the best team, looking team right now in Africa with the World Cup coming up at the end of the year?
Cameroon,
who fell out at the semifinal stage against Egypt. Yes.
Yeah, because I still think Egypt came down to, in the important moments, to Mo Salah. In terms of Senegal, they didn't play to their potential. They just didn't screw anything up. They didn't do anything spectacular, but they didn't make any mistakes. And for the amount of talent that they have, both in the starting 11 and on the bench, they should actually be walking through this competition. They're one of the few African teams that can put out two good starting 11s.
Wow. So scathing remarks there on champions Senegal, that you expected more. They could have delivered more to the competition. So I guess more upside to come from them.
Definitely. They can play better, is my point.
Okay. And yet they still won the tournament.
Yeah. But like I said, with the youngsters, so a lot of the youngsters on the bench, I know them from Ligue 1. A lot of them play in France. Trust me. Like, Senegal should be looking more attractive, playing with more dominance.
So, in last of our featured games last night, the Jazz overcame the Warriors. They really held the Warriors to 85 points. You know, Andrew Wiggins scoring only 13 points, and he has been a star for the Warriors of late. But, I mean, Steph Curry continues his poor showing of late, and Klay Thompson, I don't think he played in that game, but the Jazz, you know, stepped up to the plate and showed their mettle. So a really good win for them last night. So that wraps up our review of the past week's action, sporting action across the globe. We now move on to the previews of upcoming events. Okay, so we start our preview as usual with European football and the European League. So starting with the EPL, where it is match week 25 of 38. Manchester City keeps their foot on the gas with a 9-point, well, I'm saying 9-point lead because I have not looked at the score for the Liverpool game as yet. I expected Liverpool to win that game, and they did. They are about to win 2-0. So it will become a 9-point lead for Man City with Liverpool having one game ahead. One game in the hand to play.
In our
year. Yeah. And then Chelsea's 13 points trailing behind, that may be very difficult to overcome. But with Liverpool potentially 6 points off the lead, I don't think that race is over, unless Liverpool are real pretenders. Over in La Liga, Real Madrid leads there, 6 points ahead of Sevilla. And in Bundesliga, Bayern has stretched its lead over Dortmund, who lost to Leverkusen in a shellacking, a 5-2 shellacking last Sunday. I think it was last Saturday. Very embarrassing show from them. In the Italian Serie A, Inter's lead has been cut to 1 point after they lost to third place Milan. Napoli are in second. And in League One, PSG is rampant. I mean, stretching their lead now to 13 points. So there you see what's happening across the face of European football. For the games that are featured this week, I'm not seeing much in terms of interesting games in the EPL, La Liga, Bundesliga. And so I skip over to Serie A, where Napoli entertains Inter Milan on Saturday at midday. What are your thoughts on that game, Mario?
I think Inter are going to want to come back and win. They beat Roma midweek to give them back their confidence. Yes. In the Coppa Italia.
Yes.
So I do still think they're going to try and win the Italian treble.
Okay.
But I don't think Napoli at the moment, there's some things happening at Napoli at the moment with Insigne. He's going to play for Toronto FC. So a lot of people are looking down on him. They don't know if Dries Mertens is going to be there next year. And so they're trying to incorporate a lot of young guys in the squad. So I think Inter will find a way to win.
So a lot of uncertainty. Okay. So a lot of uncertainty and possibly instability over by Napoli. In the other game that's of interest in the Serie A is Atalanta hosting Juventus. What do you expect there?
I expect an Atalanta win.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think Juve has got their confidence back, but if there's any team that can remind them where their squad are at the moment, it's Atalanta. Atalanta steps up in these bigger games.
Yes.
The problem with them, much like Roma, is that for some reason they're losing to teams that they should lose.
Oh, okay. All right. So jumping from football over to the NBA very quickly, we look at the East, and the East is crowded at the top. Still, from last week, we've been noticing that it's only four games separating from one through to seven. The Heat are barely there at the top, but the Bucks and the Bulls and the Cavs are all bunched up there, 76ers, and I hear that Raptors is on a six or seven games winning streak right now. I don't know why that is important, but I mean, I have some persons bothering me, some listeners to the show, telling me I need to big up Raptors, big up the six, because they are balling right now. I don't understand what's happening here. They are 29-23 record. I mean, it's nothing to shout home about. I mean, but people are, I guess it's just excited fans getting, you know what's happening there, Mario, Raptors? I mean, should we be talking about Raptors?
You see, the Raptors are a hard team to hate because of a lot of the underdog stories. Siakam from Cameroon. Mm. And then Fred VanVleet was not like a high-round draft pick, managed to win the title with the team. Mm. And he's kind of supposed to take over from Kyle Lowry.
Mm.
And Siakam is supposed to take over from Kawhi or DeRozan.
Yeah.
So they're a hard team to hate when they're playing well.
Yes.
But they're a hard team to watch when they're not.
Oh, and that is it. You don't know which team you're going to see on which night. You know, that's the thing, the unpredictability. Because I think they, after Kawhi left, therefore, that first season after he left, they didn't look bad at all. No, with Siakam really stepping up his game. I mean,
VanVleet is an all-star now.
Yes, VanVleet is an all-star. I mean, and then Kyle Lowry was there where Kyle Lowry has left. And they were looking pretty decent. But these days, I don't know what to expect of them. I mean, I don't know where in the royalty, NBA royalty, they lie now. I suppose maybe a team that can contend for playoff position each year, possibly. That's where they are at. And maybe a first-round dropout. But I give my love to the city, though, you know, because many people will know that the before and after effect is clear. I mean, I went to Toronto in 2018. Before I went to Toronto, no titles. After I've gone to Toronto after my visit, one title. So it's clear the before and after impact. Wouldn't you say that's a very resounding a statement, Mario?
Not really. I'm not really trying to dig yourself up in that moment.
Well, yeah.
I can't really agree to that.
Well, I was listening to somebody. Yes.
Anybody who has visited Toronto before can say that, oh, it's because I visited the city.
No. It's too close. It's too close to say that, Murray. It's too close for comfort. The timing of my visit and what happened after, immediately after. You know, but I didn't expect to get much love or respect from you. You know, I was listening to some Bob Marley on last Sunday, you know, and I kept on playing on repeat, Crazy Ballin', you know. So I don't know. There goes. I said, who the cap for? Let them wear it. So the Nets also in the East are languishing on a league worst 1-9 record. I mean, and clearly all of the bitterness from the Harden situation there may have contributed to that. We're going to get into that because there's a big trade which has happened, which has, I don't know if it has rocked the East, but it has definitely changed some dynamics between the Sixers and the Nets. We will come to that shortly. But as we skip over to the West, it's the Suns who are still hottest and now joint hottest team in the league. And they are with the second place Warriors, but Warriors losing last night did not help. They both had a 9-1 record going into last night, but now that would have obviously changed. Grizzlies are there holding on third ahead of Jazz, and Mavericks, Nuggets, Timberwolves are there to follow. Anything interesting in the West to talk about, Mario?
Well, I think the Kristaps Porzingis Luka Doncic experiment is over. He got traded to the Wizards, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I saw that Porzingis got traded.
But who
are they getting?
You know, I'm not sure. Okay. I didn't get that deep into it. But all I know is that it's kind of Doncic needs to learn how to play with somebody because I don't think just him and some role players can do it. I mean, I know the story with Dirk Nowitzki, but he still had aging Jason Kidd, right?
Yeah.
So you need to like learn how to play with the rest of the teams, because in all fairness, all of his teammates have been good.
Mm-hmm.
Him and Kristaps were just about to work. But yeah, Wizards are slowly building a little thing down there. But in all fairness, in the West, like I said, Ja Morant for MVP. The Lakers, you can't blame Westbrook anymore.
But any conversation that starts with Ja Morant for MVP is not a serious conversation to be had right at this time. So I think that's signaling that you have not much more to say on the topic. That's a very nice and cute way to say it. You have a way of bringing across these things. I don't know where you're going with that Ja Morant for MVP thing. I say give him 2 more months performing at the same level, and then we can have a conversation. In terms of the games for this week, this next 7 days that we can really pay attention to. I'm seeing it was really tough to find good, really good games to watch. I mean, I don't know if it's because we're coming near to the mid-season break in terms of the All-Star break, why you're not having really compelling matchups. But I'm looking maybe like Celtics-Hawks. Not that they are particularly good, but I think maybe where they're at now, maybe a more even game you can expect there. Heat Mavericks is one that perhaps could be intriguing. Heat, as with Jimmy Butler there, you know, is always a very, very competitive team. And let's see what Mavericks have to bring now. I mean, Doncic has been performing well in recent times, but as you said, he needs to learn to play with others because he can't win by himself. And then you have Bucks hosting 76ers, which will be maybe the first game with James Harden. You know, who knows? So that could be very interesting. Any of those appeal to you, Mario?
I am really hoping that the Bucks versus Philly has Harden, because Embiid and Giannis are fighting for the best big man in the league.
Yes.
And we know James Harden doesn't like Giannis' style of play.
Yes.
And has always criticized him.
Yes.
So we know that there's beef there.
Mm-hmm.
So I really hope he makes his debut. Being alongside Joel. And I actually think Philly won this year. I wouldn't give up Seth Curry still, but
Seth Curry, right. Okay. Yeah, I understand. Yeah, we will get to that shortly. So over to the NFL, where the biggest of the biggest happens on this Sunday with the Super Bowl featuring the Rams, LA Rams, playing at home, the second year straight that the one of the Super Bowl finalists is also hosting the big one. And they are hosting Bengals, the Cincinnati Bengals. It really seems like an overmatch. That, I mean, it's a David versus Goliath situation with young Joe Burrow going up against the LA Rams, which is a galaxy of stars. Mario, what do you have in store for us in terms of your expectations for this big, huge, humongous game?
Like I said, I kind of trust Joe Burrow in high pressure situations more than Matt Stafford.
But he may not get there. He may be so overwhelming that there's no high pressure at all.
Exactly. So, in terms of Stafford, he has just too many weapons at our head. They lost one of their tight ends in the last game.
Let's
say overcome that. And that whole line just won't stop on Donald, but Joey Burrow is used to, he's the most pressured quarterback in the league. So I think he's used to that. But let's see what Jamar, if you take Jamar Chase out of the game, let's see if his other players are all, he can step up. But like I said, it's either the Cinderella story or the story that's supposed to happen. Stafford is the story that's supposed to happen. You get the Super Bowl in SoFi, it's Hollywood, perfect ending, perfect right after you leave the Lions. But at the same time, Joe Burrow will be the first quarterback to win the national championship, the Heisman, and the Super Bowl. Yeah, so somebody's
he would be the first.
I'm hoping to see him win that, in all fairness, because I love underdogs. There's a David versus Goliath. But Stafford has, like I said, the pressure to me is just too much on Stafford because he holds other players' careers.
Okay.
And reputation for coaches and all of that.
Well, it's an interesting matchup only because of some of those storylines. But when you come to the technical play on the field and look at it logically, it really seems like it should be a walkover for the Rams because their greatest strength is Bengals' greatest weakness. It's like if you had to choose a team for them to, the perfect team for Rams to play, would be Bengals, because Bengals' offensive line is poor and Rams' defensive line is awesome. So, you know, it seemed all like logically that there's no way that Bengals can win this game. But I'm not a man of logics, you know. I'm not ruled by logics, you know. I'm ruled by intuition. I'm ruled by gut feeling. And so I must declare that I would trust any day someone who is consistent, someone who has shown that they can stand up to the time and have the mettle, than talent all the time. I will choose someone who has proven that they can withstand adversity, even though on this stage, in this arena, the NFL arena, it has not been much, but I have seen enough. I mean, it's not so much even belief in Joe Burrows and Bengals. It's really that I don't trust LA Rams. And so I'm really hoping that Bengals can put together a good game plan that can see them taking home this trophy. It would be sad for LA Rams to be going second time in, I think, 4 years to the Super Bowl. It does mean that they do have a good system down there. But surprise, surprise, I don't think you can give up on Bengals winning the Super Bowl. And if I have to make a pick right now, it's going to be for Cincinnati.
Yeah, like I said, I'm kind of rolling with Joe Burrow.
Okay. All right. On the UFC, our next arena, we have some big matchups coming up this weekend. UFC 271, I think. And we have Adesanya taking on Whittaker. And then Derek Lewis taking on Tuivasa. That's how it's pronounced? Tai Tuivasa?
Yeah, Tai Tuivasa.
Tuivasa, right. Your impressions, Mario?
Tai Tuivasa and Derek Lewis is going to be like an interesting fight. Tai Tuivasa is one of those heavyweights who's underrated, the athletic, are more nimble than people think. So his strikes are a bit creative. He's a bit more flexible for a heavyweight. But Derek Lewis is just so much more experienced, and he's been getting better at grappling and just overall striking, because he was always a knockout artist.
So who do you expect to take the edge here?
Derek Lewis with his experience and knockout power, but the only way I see title Boxer really winning is get Derek Lewis into the later rounds.
Okay.
Because he has a fitness problem. Title Boxer can go, and it's underratedly athletic.
Okay. Adesanya Whitaker. Easy win for Adesanya?
I don't think it's going to be an easy win, but Izzy makes things look easy because of the stoic figure that he is when he's in the ring. And also, it's almost like he's playing around with his food because, like I said, he fights like an anime character, cartoon character. So, but it's very technical and sharp. But like I said, I think he has Whitaker's number. So Whitaker would just have to pull off some crazy knockout that like just comes out of nowhere.
Okay.
Or unless Whitaker changed the game plan and wrap.
Okay. So there we have it for a look at the upcoming week, exciting week in sporting action, of course, featuring the Super Bowl, which is by no means anything to scoff at, even with what seems to be an overmatched game, you know, a mismatch perhaps, but anything can happen, and this is why it's called a Super Bowl. We expect to get something pretty super this Sunday. All right, so let's move on to Fast Break. Welcome to Fast Break, and this one is literally a fast break. We do quick takes here on hot topics and burning issues from the world of sports, and just out of the press, coming off the news mill, we have breaking news of a trade: James Harden, Ben Simmons switching roles for the Nets, the Brooklyn Nets, and the Philadelphia 76ers. I think Nets will get as well in return for Harden, not just Ben Simmons, but Seth Curry and Andre Drummond, along with draft picks. Mario, your first impressions of this trade?
Philadelphia won this trade. I wouldn't give up Seth Curry, but you're getting James Harden, who I still think perfect timing for him on Embiid. But the Nets, it's crazy because he messed up Houston's entire squad every year and still ended up crying to me. And then now he does the same thing to the Nets.
Yep.
So I didn't see this happening, but I thought the relationship with KD and Kyrie. But I think the Nets did get something back in value. As I said, Andre Drummond rebounding, maybe a little defense, shot blocking. And in terms of Ben Simmons, they get a high level, like world-class defender and also facilitator.
And three-point threat from beyond the arc, because Joe Harris has been pathetic to me for Nets so far. So I welcome that for Nets, that perspective. But clearly, it's a win for Philly. Nets needed to get rid of Harden because he was not happy there. And so he was going to be a liability. He really didn't really catch fire at Nets. So it really did not take off, wasn't his usual self. And it's a very good trade for Philly. And I think Harden made a settling very well with Embiid. It could be a very potent team that you have there in Philly, and put some pressure on Doc Rivers to win something since the days of the big three over in Celtics. I think that was back from 2009. That's all 13 years ago. So it is a very good look for Philly. For Nets, I would say nothing really has changed. My problem with the Nets has never been with talent or the right players they have, except that they lost some need. They did. I mean, when trading for Harden, they gave up some real good position players that they had. I thought that would have, I mean, that was a fatal mistake. And we have been saying that over the past few weeks. And it's just come to pass now. This is just sealing the deal. Like, they really made a mistake, a big blunder there. Yes, a big blockbuster trade. And there are some others happening with Porzingis leaving Mavericks and going to Wizards. But we will stay tuned to hear more as the deadline expires today. But very, very big news there indeed. And let us see how this play out in terms of the Eastern Conference playoff situation and championships eventually. That's it for Fast Break. We now move on to Super Mario Adventure.
Yay!
Yes, welcome to Super Mario Adventures, where we, well, not we, but really Mario takes us on his journey in the world of sports, exploring topics which are not in mainstream, but very interesting, off the beaten track. What do you have for us this week, Mario?
I've recently got into a sport called freediving, which is basically diving without scuba gear, depending on the breath that you carry from the surface.
Oh, free! I thought you said tree. Oh, free.
Oh, no, freediving.
I thought you meant diving out of trees. Okay, freediving. Oh, no. Good. Yes.
No, so, a little bit of that as well. But that's freediving. But freediving is it really originates from like different tribes who had to like hunt fish for their food. So like spear fishing, they would have to actually go underwater and search for fish. So it tested the human limit of how long we can hold our breath, because human beings don't really consider themselves water mammals, and we're a little bit of both land and water. So we haven't really pushed those limits. Now you have divers who enter different competitions to see how fast they can dive, how deep they can dive, and how far into the ocean they can explore, just from the one breath hold that they took before going deep to the surface.
Interesting, interesting. Okay, and there are offshoots of it? I mean, you're saying...
Yeah, it translated over into different sports like underwater hockey, underwater football, which is like the NFL.
NFL underwater?
Yes.
I never heard of that. How can you throw a ball underwater?
That's the thing. They kind of pass the ball underwater, so they figure it out.
What? I need to look up that.
Yeah, and the goals, you know, like seriously, the goals even look weird. Like, what is the end zone looks weird. But yeah, it's one of the offshoots of freediving.
But Mario, this part of the program has a signature. It has a trademark for craziness. But this one is just way off the scale. You cannot have NFL underwater. I don't know.
They play with an NFL ball. Two underwater team sports that shares common elements with underwater rugby and hockey, as both of those games play in a swimming pool as well. They have snorkeling equipment, but it's based off of freediving.
I'm seeing it, and it's the Navy guys who are actually doing it most, really. What the hell? Underwater Torpedo League. NFL Season 1. Jesus
Christ. Oh, so I lie to you. Would I come here with research and everything? But we just have a little bit of time, so I can't go to the depths of it.
Yeah, yes.
But definitely, like, it has offshoots in other places. And some people just do it as a hobby, like myself, just test the limits of what they can do. If I was to best describe it, I would say that the same meditating state you try to get into when you sit down meditation,
yes,
it's the same mental state that you have to be in while underwater, because you have to hold your breath for like 20 minutes, 30 minutes, explore under the ocean. So you're still getting stimuli from light, water, different fishes flying around. What if you see a fish that you're afraid of? Are you going to start panicking and then your body asks for more oxygen? So you have to have that same, like, it's like a walking meditation.
Well, this is super crazy stuff, but superrific stuff. I mean, we used to say it's super califragilisticexpialidocious. I mean, this is just crazy, but exciting at the same time. Very interesting that you can do all of these things underwater. Next, you'll have golf underwater. I don't hear about soccer yet underwater. I mean, your basketball underwater. Oh my God, this is crazy. Then you'll have them start. I mean, this is SpongeBob world we're living in, right? I mean, I'm sure some of them may meet Mr. Krabs soon. This is craziness. But thanks, Mario, for taking us on the journey. It's one of the crazier expeditions we're having this afternoon, going into free diving and all the offshoots of it. But it's certainly been exciting and trademark for Super Mario Adventures. Thanks for that. We now move on to overtime. Welcome to Overtime, and we're here closing out on the last segment with Mario Pottinger, the Rastaman from Live Sports, you know. Yes, where they have their 90th minute show and the Live Sports weekly show, where they explore in the comfort of a lounge, you know, just living the life and talking about sporting topics, you know, like, yeah, you know, these guys are on a different level. I mean, I have to be quickly going through my thing, like I'm living in the cities, you know, don't have much time. And these guys are just, they are living on an island where it's all sports and it's all day and they just have all the time in the world and they're just enjoying themselves. You know, it's craziness. But it's over time. And we do predictions here on key sporting events for the upcoming week. And on our first on our list, we have the Napoli-Inter game. And Mario had said he expects Inter to take this one because Napoli is a bit topsy-turvy at the moment and Inter should be reeling from their recent loss to Milan in the Milan derby as well. And they showed that there are some intent in their game against Roma earlier this week. So what scoreline do you have in mind, Mario?
3-2 to Inter.
3-2 to Inter. And then we have UFC picking Adesanya Whittaker. So clearly should be an Adesanya win.
Yeah, I'm rolling with Adesanya. And I want to use this one for the sports
magazine. Wow, this one. Okay. And then we have Newcastle against Aston Villa on Sunday at 9 a.m.
Villa needs to gain their confidence and listen. Newcastle might have gotten taken over, but they haven't spent the money in that great ways yet. Some good players were brought in, but I don't think they're saving. This is not the game for them to win. Their confidence may never.
So, sound like you're going with Villa?
Yeah, I'm going with Aston Villa.
Okay. Super Bowl. And it's Bengals for you.
Score? Yeah. I'm going with the Bengals. I see it as a tight game. I see somebody winning like 28-24.
That's a score I have, 28-24. Interesting. When it's that close, when it's that uncanny, sometimes it means that we're totally wrong. And then the next game is the Heat hosting the Mavericks on Tuesday in the NBA. And
oh, definitely give me the Heat.
Heat, taking that one. Okay, yes. I know that you're not really a fan of Mavericks with Doncic not learning to play with other persons. So there we have it for overtime, where Mario is selecting the game, the MMA, the UFC fight with Adesanya Whittaker as his prediction game for the Sports 360 WhatsApp group. Interesting there. Yes, yeah, so that concludes the end of another show. There you have it again. Thanks for joining us. It's a Super Bowl weekend in the offing, and we're expecting more than just the game, but a fabulous Sunday with great advertisements, lots of Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies I'm expecting to see. You know, so it's a glorious weekend we're looking forward to. Until next time, keep safe and always remember, it's one love every time.